11-year MLS pro Quincy Mariquois here, and you're now listening to The Perfect Soccer Podcast, where your host goes one-on-one to get to know your favorite professional soccer players, both on and off the pitch. Because how better to learn what it takes to become a pro soccer player other than directly from pro soccer players? Today's episode is brought to you by PerfectSoccerSkills.com, the number one and only platform you'll ever need to connect with and learn from pro soccer players. Learn more and enter to win weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to PerfectSoccerSkills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today. With that said, please enjoy today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Perfect Soccer Podcast. Our special guest today is Earl Edwards Jr. Earl, how's it going?
I'm going really well, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, second time. So we had to do a follow-up episode, catch up. It's been a few years. I know last time we talked to you, you were on DC United, and now you're on the New England Revolution. Like we were just chatting, I was saying you're like a certified veteran now. So how does that feel?
It feels good, man. I feel like I've carried myself that way for a few years now, and now to actually be treated that way and viewed that way in the locker room has been cool and an experience I'm enjoying, and enjoyed my almost decade in the league now.
Yeah, that's crazy. What has your time been like so far with the Revolution?
It's been good. I've had some ups and downs. My first year here, we won the Supporters Shield, which was a great experience, really good season, and followed that up with a year that wasn't so great. I think we just missed out on the playoffs the following year. And now we've had a really good just over half a season now, and hoping to close it out strong. And it's been a good, what are we coming up on? 3 years now here in New England. And I've enjoyed the ride. I've extended my contract and be here at least next year. And I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I just saw that. So congrats on that too, as well. And then just going back a little bit, but like, what was your, you weren't traded, right? You signed with the Revolution originally, right?
How did that go? I was actually technically a free agent, coming out of, DC. Mm-hmm. So everything was kind of on the table. I was really planning on going back to DC, and as they were kind of trying to work things out, the Revs kind of stepped in and had an offer on the table, and we were able to move quickly. So off I went.
There you go. Gotcha. And then just like I was saying, now that you're even more seasoned, like you just said, almost 10 years in the league, like what have you seen change in the MLS since like the beginning of your career to like now?
Man, a lot. I mean, I came in, we didn't have charter flights. League minimum was 36,000, and we had roommates. So things have changed fairly drastically. COVID played a big part in that, but I do think it's a lot of strides and jumps that the league would have made at some point, but I'm sure it was sped up by COVID. So yeah. The charter flights are nice. Getting in and out of cities day before and same night of the game, we fly out. So that part's been really convenient, and a massive change as pro athletes, and then not having roommates, things of that sort. Seems like little things, but it kind of really advances the league. And as an athlete, feeling like, I don't know, a lot of things were kind of similar to the college aspect in terms of having roommates and moving through airports and things of that sort. And now it really feels like the league again has taken a big jump, and there's a serious level of professionalism.
Yeah, for sure. Like, even when you say that, that's like, it sounds like crazy, but like people wouldn't even think that. I remember too, when you guys are on DC United, you and Quincy, and it was like, and Quincy was telling me like, yeah, Wayne Rooney's like on the regular flight with us, like
it's wild. And even before that, being in Orlando, yeah. Me and Donovan Ricketts, one of the other goalies, we used to always mess with Ka and tell him like, if you want security, you could pay us $100 each every time we went to the airport, because it was nuts, man. Like, yeah. we did not have like any official security with us. So there were multiple occasions where a couple of trainers, an equipment manager, maybe a coach or two are having to help him avoid persistent fans. Yeah. Annoying stuff, you know, like just not a good situation for him to be in. But yeah, again, the league's taking the right strides to move past that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think just like anything, like I think just a lot of just pro sports in general. I mean, obviously a lot of change after 2020, and then you kind of just see more players speaking out about stuff, and things are changing. So that's like great for like everybody. And I guess like, how do you prepare for games? And I guess like what has preparation changed like for you over the years? And like, what have you learned? Just over the years.
Yeah, really good question. I feel like I came into the league with the level of confidence. Obviously, I was playing in college quite a bit, so I came into the league with a high level of confidence, and I felt I was playing well my first 4 or 5 years, and never really got an opportunity in Orlando. And then went to DC, similar situation there. I was the number two at times, sometimes the number three, but honestly, never quite felt myself over those 2 years. Started working with Quincy quite a bit, and working on a lot of stuff mentality wise and work ethic wise, and put a lot in over those next 2 years. Well, again, while I was in DC, maybe my first year with the Revs, and kind of refocusing and reapproaching I don't want to say effort, but just how diligent I was in certain things, which was really beneficial at the time. But I will say, I think it got to a point where I felt as if I had to check a bunch of boxes to be able to perform well. So it kind of went so far that I thought it was working against me. And it's funny that you mention, kind of being a veteran. I think going through all that, I had a level of confidence in things I was doing early on, or I wasn't doing, but I just felt good and knew what I was capable of and could ride that. After not getting opportunities, I think that confidence started to wane. So you start trying to make up for that by doing a bunch of things I hadn't done in the past. And again, I think I went a little too far there, and now I'm back in a place of feeling that confidence and everything kind of clicking. I think I needed that, those 2-3 years grind to refocus things and feel what that over the top diligence really is and can feel like. And I think, again, there was a level of it that needed to be dialed down and trust myself and my abilities and not having to feel like I have to get through this perfect routine to go or perform. And I found that fine balance now where I am getting a very good chance here in New England now. And I feel like I'm just confident on the field. I feel like I belong, and hope to keep it going.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And what has it been like? I know you guys haven't, I don't think you played Messi yet since he joined the team, but like, what has it been like, just the atmosphere, or like, has anything like changed immediately since, even, I know you're not on his team, but like, what have you seen so far?
Yeah, I think it's calmed down a little bit, because when he came in and he broke out pretty crazily throughout the Leagues Cup, and he's still doing similar things in MLS games now, whether it's assists or goals. And I think the one thing for sure is that it's like must-see TV. My wife doesn't mind watching MLS games, but games with Messi, it's like, yeah, well, we could definitely watch that. So there's a level of attention that he's drawing to the league that I think is really healthy and beneficial to all of us as players. And I look forward to playing him at some point in the future.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Are you ready for the 5 Quincy questions? We're going to go back and compare what you said a couple of years ago in the post edit.
Okay, cool. So I won't be able to see what I said a few years ago until this comes out.
Yeah, it's all, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Let's hear it.
All right. So first question, what's the most important quality or skill you feel has made you successful as a pro player?
I would say trust in my abilities. Again, I think that waned for a little bit, and I was trying to compensate by doing a bunch of extra things. And ultimately, again, was able to come back to my confidence and trust in my abilities. And that's not an easy thing to always obtain, but I think that's been the biggest asset for me.
For sure. What's the biggest mistake you think pro players are making?
I think the biggest mistake pros make is I would say a closed-mindedness in general. it's interesting, especially as I do get older and I see guys maybe a couple years younger than me, still older guys, but a couple years younger than me. And I observe the younger guys. And when I say open-mindedness, just like how guys approach things in the gym, how guys approach things in the training room, recovery, how they take care of their body, how they approach training each day, how they warm up, cool down, all those little things, I think is what I went through in that stage of my career throughout DC and a little bit here in New England, is, you know, really figuring out a routine that works for you as a pro athlete that allows you to be at your best mentally and physically every day. And I do think there's a learning curve there for a lot of athletes. And that closed-mindedness, you know, you might have a routine that you had in college that's really worked for you, and maybe you get to the pros and things are fluctuating. And I think just keeping an open mind to maybe altering things and figuring out how you study the game film as well, and just figuring out what works for you. Because again, I do think there's a fine line of going over the top and doing too much and not letting your body just be calm and relax. And then on the flip side, not doing enough can also be extremely detrimental. Just finding what works for you is, I think, the biggest thing.
Yeah, 100%. What advice would you give to a young player?
Man, I like, be a student. There's so many times like I'm watching these young guys and I'm like, defending wise, like there's so much to be learned as you get to higher levels. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like a lot of the young guys, I think especially U.S. soccer is taking a really significant jump in technical ability. And I would say that being student of the game IQ wise is still something that we're catching up on as a country. And so often when I'm watching young guys, I'm like, you have all the ability of the world. You would be on the field, you'd be starting, but defensively, like you can't look like you're 18, 19 on the field and a liability that we won't be able to trust you. So that's like, for young guys, I think guys with all the ability in the world, and it's more than anything, it's just positioning and figuring out where to be. And then from there, hopefully making tackles and making plays. But that defensive IQ, I think, is something that would allow a lot of young players to get on the field quicker.
For sure.
Enjoy learning what it takes to become a better player from professional soccer players? Well, how would you like to work with professional players one-on-one? Now you can with Be Pro by Perfect Soccer. Head over to perfectsoccerskills.com/BEPRO to apply to work with our network of pro players today.
What is something that you would move forward with if you weren't scared of what would happen if things didn't go well?
Something I'd move forward with?
Yeah.
What was I afraid of? Like consequences. Having like 5 to 6 kids.
All right.
I guess. You know, I think that would be it. You know, I love having 2 kids. We do want more. I think we're probably going to stop at 3. I would love to have a big family, but
yeah,
there's a fear. There.
3 is a lot too.
But yeah, 3 is a lot, but it's not 5. It's not 5 or 6. Yeah. I laughingly threw that out to my wife after very reluctantly not even wanting 3. At some point got to the point of like, you know what, a big family might be nice, but there's a real, that's a steep one. 5 or 6 kids is a lot, but yeah, it's something I thought about.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's crazy. I have a nephew now. So like now I kind of feel somewhat like a parent types figure. Like
it's, how old is he?
4 months.
Okay. Yeah. So you're in the harder parts.
It's been cool and interesting. And now I kind of see what people go through as like an actual parent and like being an adult now, you know, obviously I had grown up with like younger cousins, stuff like that, but this is.
Yeah. Different. Without experiencing it firsthand as a parent or seeing it very closely as an uncle or aunt, like it's very difficult to understand how life changing having children is. So.
Yeah, I can't even imagine being a pro athlete too, just like doing like balancing that. Obviously, like people bounce like 9 to 5s, but like being a pro athlete, traveling all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a lot. And the nice part is I'm home early enough to like be with them for the afternoons, home much earlier than 5 o'clock, that's for sure. On the flip side, it's like you're dead tired from coming off the field. So there's little give and take there, but it's really nice to be able to spend a large amount of time with my kids that most people don't get to.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want them to play soccer?
I would love that, but it's really up to them. They both seem very athletic. My daughter is gravitating towards dance. My wife was a ballerina, so my daughter is taking that up quickly. And there is a dance recital around 7:30 every night after dinner. She's got her three favorite songs right now, and that kind of rotates month to month. But we get our recitals on a nightly basis, and my son Brooks, he's teeing up footballs and kicking them quite a bit. I wouldn't mind pushing him that direction down the road and seeing how that goes. But they both love sports in general. Last night they had me in the living room. I have a little racquetball racket, and I was bouncing a ball to them. And at 2 and 4 years old, they're both making pretty serious contact and seem to love tennis as well. I had them golfing the other day. They seem to love a little bit of everything, especially if I'm interested in it. They kind of want to check it out and things of that sort. So I think there's going to be a variety of things they want to do. And as long as they are, I will say, having fun, that is part of it. But I think more than anything, as long as whatever they're doing, they are putting in 100% effort, that I'll be proud.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, tennis and golf, those are the money makers right there.
Oh, those are the ones, man.
People don't really think about it.
Those are the ones, man. And there's no mistake. And obviously, a lot of the mentality things I've been doing with Perfect Soccer in Quincy, it's like, you know, that those one-on-one sports is such a mental battle. And I think, you know, you can equip kids at a young age with the tools to be successful when it comes to one-on-one mental games and things like that. So I'm also interested to see how instilling those principles in them will play out in, again, dance or sports or whatever they're interested in.
Yeah, for sure. And then flipping it all over to kind of like outside of sport, well, not outside of off the pitch, I should say, you're the co-founder and the president of Black Players for Change. So what has that been like?
It's been really rewarding. The organization, obviously, we started back in Orlando, and there was a lot of attention and momentum for us to jump on. And we were able to do that and establish ourselves as a strong organization and a stakeholder within the MLS ecosystem to continue to affect change today and for years to come. And so that's something I'm extremely proud of. Again, it's been really rewarding. And as we get further and further from 2020 and George Floyd's death, and DE&I departments are dwindling across the country, I think it's really important to have an organization like ours, again, within the MLS ecosystem to continue to draw attention to these things and try to create an environment within our league and local communities that is as free as from racism as possible.
Yeah, definitely. And then, like, how has that been for you too? Just like on the business side and like working, like, you know, not doing soccer, basically. Like what have you learned and like things like that? Like, I know, and you went to college, so have you used your college skills and all the stuff you learned too?
Yeah, for sure. No, it's been really good. It's nice to have another outlet, I would say. You know, you have fun things like we just started up our fantasy football league, and I get really into that. And obviously, I have my family off the field and soccer. And so it's really nice to have something like Black Players for Change that is more so a business minded thing, where I am working very differently than I do on the field, but still working on a daily basis, answering emails and things of that sort, and managing my time and meetings and interviews and working on different committees that comes about within BPC. And again, it's been a quite the commitment, a rewarding commitment, and it's something that continues to keep me busy in a healthy way. And again, something that's been rewarding and something I've enjoyed.
Yeah, that's dope. All right, ready for the last couple of questions? Some fun questions.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, I've been asking everybody now recently, is it soccer or football?
Oh, soccer, only because I'm obsessed with American football.
Who would you want to do a jersey exchange with that you haven't done one with yet?
Ooh, in the league?
Yeah.
Who's out there? I would say It's a tough one. I'll go with, honestly, I'm trying to think of through like my close friends. That's who I go for. And yeah, the majority of them I've swapped jerseys with already. But we go to Minnesota this weekend. So maybe Dane St. Clair would be a cool one to swap jerseys. We've got a little bit of a relationship, and I think that would be pretty cool.
There you go. Last one. What is something that people don't know about you?
I was a really good basketball player. I don't know how many people know that, but.
All right. Do you think you're one of the best basketball players in the MLS? Like out of the MLS players?
I would say I'm not going to go crazy. I'll be conservative. So I'll say I'm like top 15.
All right.
I think I'm probably closer to top 10. But I know, like, even on our team, I know Henry Kessler is a really good basketball player. I know Sean Johnson's a good basketball player. I don't think anyone's touching Miles Robinson from what I've heard. He could have played at Syracuse. So that's a whole nother animal. And from what he does on the field, I wouldn't question it. So I know those are like just a couple. Henry, I heard about randomly earlier this season. So I know there's guys throughout the league that just kind of sneakily, you know, had the option maybe to even play in college that I would play a conservative. But I think top 15 conservative, probably top 10.
All right. I like
jumper, that. Just straight up jumper, like shooting competition. I'm going to go top 5.
I love that. That might have been the best answer ever for that question. All right, Earl. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And could you let the listeners know where they can follow you at?
Yeah, you can follow me at it's Earl Edwards Jr. on Instagram and Earl Jr. Earl Jr. UCLA on Twitter, or X, I should say. But yeah, those are my two platforms and my handles.
Quincy Mariqua here, and thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it with someone you feel will get some value from it. And if you could take a moment to leave a review of our podcast wherever you're listening and let us know who you'd like us to interview next, we'll get working on that right away. You can listen to this full episode and more at perfectsoccerskills.com/radio. That's perfectsoccerskills.com/RADIO. You can also enter to win free weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to perfectsoccerskills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today.